Well, we're going to continue this evening in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. And this morning we began by looking at the life of Joseph. And we're going to continue to learn two more important lessons from his godly example. Matthew chapter number 1. Let's just look at two verses and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Matthew chapter 1, verses 24 to 25. Verse 24 says, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is truth. And Lord, your word is profitable, Lord, to continue to work in our lives, to change us and to mold us. Lord, we thank you that we have the joy of hearing from you. And Lord, we just pray that you would be our teacher, that the Spirit of God would once again apply your word to our lives. Lord, help us to see the lessons from the life of Joseph. Lord, help us to be burdened in our heart for our families and our children and their children. And for the children in our church, Lord, help us to be godly examples to each one of them by the lives that we live. Lord, we commit this time to you. We pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, some of you have heard this account before, and I think I maybe have shared this prayer request before, this article before, that one Father's Day, a greeting card company decided to do something different. They decided to go into a prison and offer free greeting cards to prisoners to send them to their moms. So they set up a table in the prison, and sure enough, there was a giant queue lined up behind that table. Now, the promotion was so popular and successful, they decided to do the same on Father's Day. But this time, there was a different result. This time, not one prisoner felt the need to write a card to their dad. In fact, when asked about it, many had no idea who their fathers were. You know, isn't that another important reminder about the importance of godly fatherhood, the importance of a father's example? One quote I've got here in my notes is this: "It may be hard on some fathers not to have children, but it's so much harder on a child not to have a father." And you see, for those of us who are fathers here this evening, or perhaps some of you young men who will be, if God wills, fathers to be, we have a great responsibility. Is that right? We have a great responsibility to our children. Mothers, you have a great responsibility to your children. In fact, doesn't matter who we are all an example, and someone is watching our example, even this evening in our church tonight. Each one of us are examples, one to another. And it's important to use that influence and use that example for the glory of God. And that's exactly what Joseph did. As we looked at this morning, Joseph was the man that God chose to raise his son. He was a godly man. When he faced perhaps the greatest dilemma in his life, he revealed that he was a just man. He was stable because he put his faith in his Savior for his salvation and his security. That's why he was a stable man. In his dream, we saw that Joseph surrendered to the call of God and to the will of God. And then by his decision to obey God, we saw his steadfast faith. You know, Joseph didn't need to be asked twice. Joseph didn't need to be asked three times. He surrendered his life to God, and though difficult roads were ahead, he knew that the life of faith that God had called him to would be a joy to live, and he would see the very miracles of God. The miracles of God. Now, no doubt when God was looking for a man to lead the household where the Lord Jesus Christ would grow up, no doubt he was looking for a special man, a godly man, someone who would be able to be trusted to have a good testimony in the home. Now, before we leave looking at his life, I'd like us just to look at two more thoughts this evening from the Word of God. Tonight we're going to be looking at Joseph's devotion and Joseph's dedication. Joseph's devotion and Joseph's dedication. Notice Joseph's devotion to the Lord here in these last two verses of chapter 1. The Bible says, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. So he obeyed the Lord," we know that, "and he took unto him his wife." Notice verse 25, "And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now oftentimes, again, we read over these verses and we don't take into account exactly what's happening here. Notice Joseph's unselfish devotion to the Lord. Do you see that in the Word of God this evening? You see, Mary and Joseph by now were married. They were husband and wife. They were no longer engaged. They were married, and yet the Bible tells us they did not come together physically until after the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Is that what the Bible says? Verse 25, "He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son." Now that was important, because remember the prophecy given in verse number 23. What does the Bible say? "And a virgin shall be with child, and a virgin shall bring forth a son." It was important that Joseph obey the Lord. But yet as we look at his example, we see his unselfish devotion to the Lord, don't we? You see, a lesser man, let me say this, an unsaved man, a carnal man, would have demanded his rights as a husband. Because as a husband, they were now one flesh. They were a newly married couple. And you think of Joseph as a man and his looking forward to the marriage day and to his future ahead with his wife. And yet here we see his devotion to the Lord. Here we see that Joseph was not only a man who was willing to bear the reproach of his community, and they were wondering why he would marry a pregnant woman, but we also see that Joseph was willing to place his desires last and God's desires first. Is that correct? He placed his own desires last and he placed God's desires first in order to honor the Lord. What a testimony. Amen. Unselfish devotion. What a great example for you and I. I mentioned it this morning, but here we have the point today, tonight. You know, it's one thing to surrender to the Lord. Let me say this. Any of us can surrender to the Lord. Any of us can say, "Lord, here am I, send me." It's one thing to be surrendered, but it's another thing to die to self. How many of you understand that's much more difficult? Absolutely. You see, when God calls us to a calling or to live the Christian life, we may be excited about the blessings that will come. We may be excited about the opportunities to serve the Lord, but we need to remember it is also a call to die to self. Because you see, not everything that God calls us to do are things that you and I would feel like doing. Not everything that God calls us to do is something that we might find convenient. You see, most of the times we fail in the Christian life because we agreed that we will serve the Lord when it works into our plans. We'll agree to serve the Lord when it's comfortable, when we feel like it. We'll honor Him and obey Him when it works out with our feelings and plans. But when we don't feel like it, or if it's not convenient, then we don't serve the Lord. And I'm afraid that's how most Christians live their lives. And they forget there's one important thing that the Lord taught from the very beginning of His ministry. The need of self-denial. Look with me in Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Joseph was certainly a devoted man to the Lord, wasn't he? He wasn't just saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll obey you." He lived out what he promised to do. Joseph's devotion. Look with me at the Lord's words here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. Let's look at verse 23 first. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him what? Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, anyone can surrender to the Lord, but a true disciple, one that serves the Lord with their lives, is one that is willing to deny themselves, is willing to take up their cross daily, to put themselves last, if you will, and put the Lord first. That is the true test of a disciple. That is the true test of a father, a man, or a young man, or a Christian that is devoted to the Lord. Joseph was a man who was devoted to God, and God could use Joseph miraculously, because when it was inconvenient, when it was something that Joseph would desire to do, he laid aside his own rights so that he could honor the Lord. And you see, for every person that is used of God, that is a spiritual character trait in their lives. If you remember the three words that the Apostle Paul said, he said, I die daily. He said, I die daily. The need to die to ourselves, our own plans, our own ambitions, our own sinful lusts, our own sinful desires. You see, God says if we are going to follow Him in His calling, it's not just a call to surrender, but it's a call to selflessness. It's a call to self-denial. Let me ask you, when was the last time that perhaps you read something in the Word of God, or heard something in the preaching, or the Holy Spirit convicted you of something God wanted you to do, and you didn't feel like doing it, and yet you obeyed the Lord anyway? When was the last time you said no to your sinful nature, and you said yes to the Spirit of God? Can you remember? When was the last time? You know, I'm afraid most of us claim to be Christians, we claim to be spiritual, but most of the day you and I are living in our flesh. Isn't that right? We're living based upon our feelings, based upon our goals, our ambitions, our desires. You see, Joseph was a special man because he was devoted to God. God was first and self was last. Self-denial is the true test of Christian character, and it's also the true source of blessing. We forget that, don't we? Self-denial is the true source of blessing in the Christian life. Notice the next verse. Let's read it together if you're still in Luke chapter 9. Verse 24. Let's read it on 2. 1, 2. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. My friends, this is a concrete promise of God. And it's not talking about salvation. The Lord isn't speaking about salvation. It's much more than that. He's speaking about self-denial and service to the Lord. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you and I just hold on to our plans and our dreams and our desires, and God is on the bottom shelf and ourself is on the top, guess what? All our desires will come crumbling down to nothing, and you and I will experience the greatest emptiness of the Christian life. But you see, if God is first, if we choose to lose our lives in Him, if we choose to say no to ourselves and no to our plans, and we say yes to God, what does the Lord promise? The same shall save it. We will experience the joys of the Christian life. We will experience the greater blessings of the Christian life, because let's be honest, most of the times our desires, our goals are not spiritual, and therefore there's no joy in them. Remember Solomon. He tried out all the sinful pleasures of the world, and then he cried out, oh, vanity of vanities! It's all empty! There is no pleasure to be found therein. He tried it all out. It's written in the Word of God for us. And you see, that's the reality, isn't it? You know, we can pleasure ourselves for a little while in something, and then very quickly realize it's empty. It's vain. God says, if we choose to deny self and to honor the Lord first in our lives, we will enjoy greater blessings than we would ever thought. You see, Joseph did not know Mary when he was married. He waited And by the way, Joseph didn't miss out on anything. It was a self-denial for a season. And he didn't miss out on anything because we understand that God wanted to bless Joseph. Joseph was involved in one of the greatest calls of God upon any man. To be the man of the house, the man that God chose to raise his son. And I think about the great night when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in that little manger in Bethlehem. And as the child was born, the Messiah of the world, let me tell you something, Joseph had the divine privilege of picking up his own Creator in his own very two hands and lifting him up high and praising the Lord that the Savior has come. How many of you would, you and I would like to be in his shoes? Amen. What a wonderful privilege. It's unthinkable to hold the Savior in our own two arms, the Savior of our souls. You see, Joseph didn't lose out on anything. But you see, if he wasn't willing to deny himself, God would never have chosen him. He would have put him on the shelf, would have chosen someone else. Isn't that right? Absolutely. Joseph was a man who was devoted to God, his unselfish devotion. And that's where the fullness of the blessing is found. That's where the true test of a Christian is found. Let me ask you, young men, what kind of man are you becoming? As a Christian, when we get saved, we need to start slowly but surely denying ourselves. You know, I got saved at 25. I lived 25 years of putting myself first. That's a long time. Then when I get saved, everything turned around. God started to deal with me about my selfishness. How many of you are ever shocked when God shows you how selfish you really are? Absolutely. All hands should be up. We are all selfish. We have a selfish, sinful nature. A sinful nature that is opposed to God. Do you realize that we can't do anything right in the sinful nature? And do you realize we cannot do anything wrong in the new nature? Have you realized that? And yet so often we live in the sinful nature. We live in the selfish nature. We follow the old man and not the Spirit of God. And yet if we obey the Spirit of God as Joseph did, we will enjoy the blessings of God, the greater blessings of God, joys that endure for all eternity. I know that Joseph is rejoicing today in an eternal day that he lives in because of the joy that he had, the privilege he had, and serving the Lord in his time. You see, he was devoted. His unselfish devotion is very clear. That's the kind of Christian we need to strive to be. Amen? That's the kind of Christian that God calls us to be. Amen. If any man come after me, the Lord said, let him deny himself. Let's work on that area. Amen? That's what the Lord desires. He doesn't desire us to be perfect. But there's two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Which one is it each day? Is it the Lord or is it self? Well, we've seen Joseph's devotion. Joseph's devotion revealed his self-denial. Notice next, Joseph's dedication revealed his spiritual foundation. Joseph was not only a devoted man, but he was a dedicated man. Now, come with me to Luke chapter number 2. If you're in chapter 9, just a few chapters back, Luke chapter number 2, and let's look at Joseph's dedication to the Lord. Joseph was a devoted man and he was a dedicated man. Now here in chapter number 2, verses 21 to 24, we catch a glimpse of the family life, a glimpse of how the Lord Jesus Christ was raised. You see, Joseph's home was a godly home. It was a home where God was feared. It was a home where God was reverenced. And we see Joseph's dedication in his dedication to the Word of God. Notice 21, verse 21 of chapter 2. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Here we see, the Bible tells us that Joseph was dedicated to the Word of God. He obeyed the Word of God in the naming of the child, Jesus. You see, the angel of the Lord said to them, you're not just allowed to name him any name. You are to name him a name that is above all names. the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, Joseph obeyed the Lord. You see, he had a dedication to the Word of God. How many of you realize how important it was for Joseph to obey the Lord? Now, he made a decision. 8 days later, when the Lord Jesus Christ was circumcised, he named the child Jesus. Now, in the Jewish culture, obviously the parents, we know, had the right to name the child. But in the Jewish culture, the cultural standard, the tradition, was that the firstborn son would be named after who? The father. And we know that because when John the Baptist was born and Zechariah was mute, now let's have a look at that together. Verse number 59 of chapter 1, the book of Luke. Verse number 59, and it came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, which is John the Baptist, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. Remember, Zacharias couldn't speak. The son, John the Baptist, was circumcised, and they just assumed the child would be called what? Zacharias. But then notice verse 60, and the mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." Then we know Zacharias' tongue was loosed, and he confirmed, "No, his name is John." And likewise, Joseph obeyed the Lord. Joseph did not name the babe after his name, but he named the child Jesus. You see, Joseph was a man who was dedicated to the Word of God. He obeyed God's Word, very simply and clearly, did he not? He not only obeyed God's Word, he obeyed the letter of the law. Notice verse number 21. "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus." They circumcised the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord was 8 days old. Now remember, circumcision was the seal and the covenant that God made with Abraham. Every Jewish male was to be circumcised. That's what the Bible declared. That's the law that God gave his people. Now for many Jews, circumcision had become an empty ritual. Just something that they did out of tradition. Something that they did that even they assumed would get them closer to God, would get them closer to heaven. But you see, Joseph and Mary knew how special this child was. This was no ordinary child. This was God come down in the flesh that came to fulfill the law, that came to fulfill all righteousness. And they realized that the child must be circumcised, and they obeyed the Word of God, and then once again we see their dedication to God's Word. Very simply this evening, we can see what God knew in the heart of this man. God knew that when he chose Joseph, this would be a man that would obey God's Word. Amen? He wouldn't stray. He wouldn't make up his own way. He wouldn't say, "Well, he's the Savior of the world and it doesn't matter. I can just live as I please." No, he obeyed the very Word of God to the Word. That's the kind of man he was. He was a dedicated man. He was a man that was dedicated to the Word of God. And as we look at Joseph's example this evening, it's a wonderful example to follow. You know, our homes ought to be filled with the Word of God. The Word of God should take prominence in our home. We should be parents and mothers and fathers that would hold up God's Word in our home. Now, for us to be an influence on our children, first of all, we need to obey the Word of God. We need to be the example. We need to set the standard, and then we are to teach our children the Word of God, the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us we are to raise up our children in what? The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition, very interesting words. When you look them up, nurture sounds like some a tender, loving type of care. And yes, it is loving, but the word nurture means to educate through correction. The Bible says we are to correct our children based upon what the Word of God says. The word admonition means to rebuke. It doesn't just mean to warn, it means to warn with rebuke. And you know what that means, adults, parents? Yep. Those of you who seek to be an example in this church, that means we need to know what the Word of God says. Yes. How can we warn our young people? How can we rebuke them? How can we protect our children if we don't know what the Bible says about different areas of life? Our young kids have a lot of questions. Our children have a lot of questions. The older they get, the more questions they have. Why can't we do this? What's wrong with that? Or do we have an answer? Do we know what the Word of God says? Do we seek to honour and obey the Word of God in our homes? See, the Bible tells us that we are to obey His Word. Joseph's home was a godly home, a home where God's Word was honoured and God's blessing was upon their home. Let me ask you this morning, what place does this book have in your home? You see, culturally, according to tradition, Joseph had the right to name the child. But spiritually, he had no right to do that. The only right he had was to obey the Word of God. Amen. And I'm afraid most of the times we live our lives not according to what God has shown us, not according to what God has said, but we live our lives and we set our standards according to what the world says, according to what culture says, according to what tradition perhaps our parents grew up with. Isn't that right? So often we set the standard in our home according to our background, not according to our new spiritual birth. You can say amen. You know, many times we allow things into our home just because, well, that's the way we were raised. My friends, when we are born again, we are born into a new reality, a new spiritual family, and we have a new culture, and it's not the culture of the world, it's the culture of the Lord, a Christian culture. Amen. I remember Brother Billy Eyre, he came back from deputation to our sending church 1 year, and he's a missionary in Romania, just like the Crocketts. I think he came here one time to present his ministry or somewhere else, and he began to share his testimony about their years in Romania and their first experiences, some of the challenges, and he said this, I remember. He said, you know, when we first arrived in Romania, the people were interested about why we came here and that we were Australians, and they wanted to help us to fit in to Romania. And, you know, we wanted to be witnesses to these people, so we came and had a look at how they lived. And one of the things he noticed, that whenever you went over to someone's house to visit, there would be a small glass container of a clear liquid with stuff in it that will blow your mind, stronger than you can imagine, a type of vodka. And that was customary, that when anyone visited, everyone got a little shot glass and they had a drink. That's what they do in Romania, especially in the wintertime. So it was this bottle of hard liquor sitting in the corner, and they were trying to convince Brother Billy that if they want to reach the people, if they want to be an influence in this culture, well, they need to do the same. Now, Brother Billy had a decision to make. What will I do? Will I fit into the culture, or will I obey the Lord? Now, we know what the Word of God says about alcohol. But Billy had a choice. Brother Billy had a decision to make. And what did he say? He said, look, I'm a Christian. I have a new culture to follow. And it's called the Word of God. God sets the standards in my life, not the culture that we live in. You see, so many things we excuse because it's tradition, because others are doing it. Adults, what place does God's Word have in our home? You see, God's Word is the standard of our lives. It is the standard of living. God's Word is the guidebook for our lives. Every decision we make, every standard we set in the home ought to be based upon what God says. You see, Joseph was a dedicated man. And it makes a choice. It's a daily choice to be dedicated to His Word. Will we obey it or will we not? Will we do what God says? I think about the family life of Joseph and Mary. I think about this newborn babe, the Messiah of the world. How many of you understand that God wanted this family to be a witness to every family around them? Think about the responsibility in that witness. Here comes the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Joseph and Mary better be serious about their spiritual lives, amen? They better be serious about obeying the Word of God. And yet, as we think about our families, you know, God wants our homes, our families, to be a witness to others. He wants our lives to be set to His word so that others can see that God is real. And by the way, we shouldn't obey the Lord because it's just a vain tradition or an empty practice. Our children ought to see us obeying the Lord, not because we are working towards our salvation, but because we love Him for saving us. That's what they ought to see. We love the Saviour, and therefore we obey the Saviour. We love the Lord for saving us, therefore we keep His commandments. We seek to obey His word. We seek to honour Him by following His word. And you see this evening that Joseph was a devoted man. He died to self. He died to self. What an example. Joseph was a dedicated man. He was dedicated to the word of God. You know, if we want our God's blessing upon our families, upon our homes, we need to continue to strive to follow His word. We need to continue to impress our young people to follow the Lord. Amen? Because He promises to bless. You see, this was a family that God could use. Joseph and Mary, my friends, they were sold out to God. There was no question about what they would do. They followed and obeyed the Lord. Now, lastly, notice with me, not only were they dedicated to the Word of God, but they were dedicated to the house of God. To the house of God. Notice with me verses 22 to 23 of chapter 2. Verses 22 to 23, back in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 23. Notice the Bible says, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every mouth that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Not only was Joseph's dedication toward the Word of God, but Joseph was also dedicated to the house of God. You see, the Bible tells us after 40 days, Mary had reached the end of her purification period. They were to bring the Lord Jesus Christ, the firstborn, the Son, to the temple, and they were to commend Him to the Lord. In fact, they were to redeem. Now, that's another lesson. The Redeemer was redeemed. Now, we won't look at that truth this evening, but they were to bring the Lord Jesus Christ to the temple and they were to make a sacrifice in order to honour the Lord, in order to honour Him. Now, in these verses, we have another glimpse of what's taking place in this family, in Mary and Joseph's life as they bring the baby Jesus. What do we see? What do we see? Well, we see no less than the Lord's family going to the Lord's house. The Lord's family going to the temple to worship. Isn't that what we see? They made the journey to Jerusalem. They took the Lord Jesus Christ and they went to worship the Lord. And let me say this, as we look at the family life, as we look at the home life, God will always bless the father, the family, the young person who makes the house of God a priority in their life. God will always bless the Christian that makes the public place of worship a priority. But yet as we think of the public place of worship, where is that? Where do God's people gather to worship the Lord together? In the Old Testament, it was at the temple. In the New Testament, where is it? It is the local New Testament Bible-believing church. Timothy, in the book of Timothy, the Apostle Paul said that the church is the house of God. The Old Testament temple was the house of God. The New Testament assembly of Christians is also the house of God, the church of the living God, and the pillar and ground of the truth. As we look at Joseph's example, do we not see that we ought to be dedicated to God's word and also to God's house? Well, we see they took the Lord to the house of God. They went to worship. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, it was a special occasion. It was a special occasion. They were coming to obey the word of God, and they were coming to worship the Lord, and they went up to Jerusalem. But is not every Sunday a special occasion? Amen. Now, you can tell me. I'd like your opinion. Is not every Sunday Resurrection Sunday?
It is.
Amen? Is not every Sunday the Lord's Day? Is not every Sunday the day we worship the Lord together and we remember that we have a risen Saviour? Is it not the will of God that we gather together? In fact, the Bible says, what does it say? We are to exhort one another as we see the day approaching. And then it says, forsake ye not the assembling of yourselves. You see, we need to understand that church attendance is not a ritual. It is not a tradition. The things we do in the house of God are not just routine. They are life-changing. Amen. They are life-strengthening. They are life-changing for our families if we allow God to do His work in our life through the New Testament local church. You know, if I was a pastor that did not believe in the importance of the local church, I would never have become a pastor. I would just be one of those freelance evangelists with a bunch of tracts in my pocket with no address on the back, screaming in the wilderness, you must be born again. And then if they believe, they've got nowhere to go, they've got nowhere to grow, they've got no one to tell, they don't know anything about the assurance of salvation. God created the New Testament of church for a reason. In order to do His work. It is important. It is vital to the Christian life. In fact, this is the place where the book of Ephesians says, we are edified together. That word edify means to be built up like a building that is strengthened, that is built up together. In the Lord, the local New Testament church. Dedication to the house of God. Now, as I think about Joseph in closing, I think of the fact that he and Mary could have made up some excuses not to go. Jerusalem, well, that's a bit of a long journey. Now, they didn't have cars back then. They probably walked, or there was a donkey or a horse involved, and traditionally, we see pictures of donkeys, but would it take longer than the average journey for you and I? They could have made the excuse of, well, that it's too far. Maybe it's too expensive to go. But they were dedicated to the Lord. Amen? They put the Lord first. They were a dedicated family. And Christians, let's be honest, you and I can also make up all sorts of excuses. We can say, oh, well, it's too far to go to church today. I won't go. We can say, well, it's too hot. Amen? Let's be honest. In Cairns, it gets hot. Well, it's too hot to go to church today. I won't go. Or it's too cold to go to church today. I think I'll give it a miss. Or maybe it's the service starts too early. Or the service starts too late. Or maybe I'm too busy. Christian, do you realize that there are no excuses that God accepts? God expected Joseph to be there. God expected Mary to be there. God expected the Lord Jesus Christ to be there. And they obeyed the word of God. And they were dedicated to the house of God. You see, our excuses don't cut it with the Lord. Circumstances are not an excuse. Now notice something very special and important here in the word of God. Notice Joseph and Mary's circumstances. What did they bring as an offering to worship the Lord? What did they bring? Notice there in verse number 24, at the end of the verse, a pair of what? Turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, if you were to look up, and here's the reference, Leviticus chapter 12, if you want to look that up at a later time, in Leviticus chapter number 12, God lays out the law for this sacrifice of worship. And you will read that the Bible says that for a child to be redeemed, the firstborn son, and during this time of worship, they are to bring a lamb sacrifice. But then there is an exception for those who could not afford to bring a lamb, who could not afford a lamb to sacrifice. There was an exception. There was a sacrifice for the poor person, someone who couldn't afford a lamb. They could bring a dove, a turtle dove, or a pigeon to sacrifice on that occasion. Can you see the example of Joseph and Mary here? Don't miss it. My friends, when they came to the temple, they were not bringing any ordinary child. They were bringing the Lord of Lords. They were bringing the King of Kings. They were bringing the Savior of the world. And yet all they had to offer the Lord was a poor man's sacrifice. All they had to offer the Lord was an exception clause. Can you see their example this evening? My friends, they didn't let their circumstances be an excuse to honour the house of God. You see, circumstances are not an excuse. They weren't ashamed. They didn't make excuses. They knew that God wasn't after the wealth of the offering. He was after their hearts. They knew that God valued faithfulness more than God values our finances. My friends, God doesn't need anything material from you and I. He wants our hearts. And as we said this morning, God is more interested in our availability than our ability. You see, Mary and Joseph were dedicated to the house of God. And what's the point? Well, don't let excuses and circumstances keep you away from the local New Testament church. You see, Joseph was devoted to the Lord, unselfishly. His life was filled with denying self and filled with the blessings of God. And let me say this when it comes to our dedication to the Lord, to the Word of God, to the house of God. God will always honour those who honour Him. They were poor. And yet they simply did what they could with what God had given them. God was pleased. God was honoured. And God was glorified through their lives and through their family home. You know, God provides for our needs and He promises to do so. But He says, first of all, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God says, deny yourself, put me first, and these things shall be added unto me. Put me first, put yourself last, and all these things shall be added unto thee. You know, the Lord honored this family. Now, when it comes to their financial means, let me quickly share this with you. This was just a thought that popped up as I was preparing this message, and you can churn on it a little while afterwards. Joseph and Mary were poor. The Lord Jesus Christ was born into a poor home. We know that for our sakes, He became poor so that we might be rich. But remember, the Lord also honored Joseph and Mary. And I seem to recall, no less than 2 years later, a great caravan of wealthy kings from the east coming to visit the house of Joseph and Mary. And what did they bring? They bring some of the most expensive items in biblical days at that time. Gold, frankincense and myrrh. And don't get me wrong, they came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave their gifts. But where did those gifts go? Whom were they given to? Well, they were given to Joseph and Mary. Amen? Now, I never thought of that before. And then soon after, there was their flight into Egypt. Well, how could they provide for that journey? What would sustain them in that foreign land? There's some great lessons in that. We don't have time to see it tonight. But let me say this. God provided for their needs. Amen? Amen? God honours those who honour Him. The question is, will we be devoted to Him? And will we be dedicated to the things of God? What an example in the life of Joseph. What a challenge for us this evening. I hope you've seen today there was a reason why God chose Joseph to be the man to raise His son. His devotion to God revealed his self-denial, and his dedication to God revealed his spiritual foundation, the Word of God and the house of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised in the right kind of family. And let's strive as parents, as adults, as perhaps parents to be, let's strive to have the right kind of family home. Amen. If you want God's blessing upon your home, let me encourage you to follow Joseph's example. Some wonderful lessons we've learned today. But will we surrender to the voice of God that we've heard from His Word? Will we decide to make some decisions? There are some decisions to make. Perhaps it's in the area of self-denial. Perhaps it's in the area of putting God's word back into our lives, back into our homes. Amen. We can be a greater testimony and influence to our children. Maybe it's time to make the house of God a priority. Now you might say, well, Pastor James, I just expect that from you because you're the pastor. Let me tell you, friends, it doesn't bother me how many people we have in church. I'm not impressed by numbers. If I was, I would go to the charismatic church where the numbers are overflowing. My friends, I believe in the local New Testament church. And I believe that the church life changes lives. Amen. I thank God for this church. And let's honour the Lord by being dedicated to His Word. Dedicated and devoted as children of God.